إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we thought where the author رحمه الله was talking about the khidbah of a woman. And the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَلَا تُخْطَبُ الْمَرْأَةُ فِي عِدَّتِهَا. A woman should not be proposed to while in a waiting period. وَلَا بَاسَ بِالتَّعْرِيجِ. But there is no problem if one gives an indirect proposal بالقول المعروف with honorable statement. I think this is where we stopped last week. Before we proceed, what are the two types of khitbah that we have? The two types of khitbah. نعم، تعريض عن تصريح. التعريض عن تصريح. Is it permissible for one to do khitbah of a lady that is in the idda of khulu'? Think well before you talk. Is it permissible to do khidbah of a lady in the idda of khulu'? It's not permissible. It's not permissible. Not ta'rid, not tasrih, both are not permissible. Now, a lady that is mukhtali'a, that speaks khulu'u from the husband, as we established that she's no more the wife of that man, correct? Huh? There is agreement on this among the scholars. Now, I said mukhtali'a, that she has sought for khulu'u and the husband has granted the khulu'u. She's no more the wife of the man. Sawalala. Huh? Now, it is based on this that the question comes, is it permissible to give khitbah to her? Is it permissible to give khitbah to her? Okay, is it permissible for one to give khitbah to a lady who loses her husband while she's what? She's in iddah. Is it permissible? Khitbah to ta'arid is permissible. Tasri is not permissible. What is the evidence for that? What is the evidence for the khitbah to ta'arid? Is there any evidence that says One can give khutbah to a woman who loses her husband while she's still in iddah. The khutbah of ta'rid now, not khutbah of tasrih. We are talking about what? That khutbah of tasrih is not permissible. Khutbah of ta'rid permissible. What is the evidence? وليس عليكم جناح فيما عرضتم به من خطبة النساء أو أقننتم في أنفسكم علم الله أنكم ستذكرونهن ولكن لا تواعدوهن سرا إلا أن تقولوا قولا معروفا. Here this is the evidence. Huh? That there is no harm, no sin on you. فيما عرضتم به من خطبة النساء أو أقننتم في أنفسكم. What is the meaning of أقننتم في أنفسكم? That is, this lady that is in عدة الوفاة, I have the intention of proposing to her. This you conceal to yourself. You have not shown it to anybody. No sin. Or when you visit her in the presence of the maharim, you say what? You say, how do you do the ta'rij? I would like to have a wife very soon. Yes, this is ta'rij, not a three. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? لا جنى عليكم ولا جنى عليكم فيما عرضتم به من خطبة النساء أو أقننتم في أنفسكم. So this is what the evidence. نعم المطلقة المبتوتة. A lady that has been irrevocably divorced. Irrevocably divorced. She's in Idda. She's in Idda. Is it permissible to give khidbah to ta'rij? Huh? It's permissible. To give khidbah to ta'rij is permissible. Why is it permissible? Huh? Because she can't go back to the former husband until she marries another person and that person willingly divorces her. Is that clear? So it's just like al-mutawaffa an azawjuha, the one who loses her husband. That same husband cannot come back to marry her. But despite that, you cannot do what? You can't do express khidbah. You can do ta'arij, but the one that will be watched, that will be clear, is not permissible. So the same case is applicable to a lady that has been divorced irrevocably. That is, when we say irrevocably here, it means what? Three times. You can do ta'arij, but not. If somebody do tasrih, in the case of a lady who loses her husband, why is she still in Idda? Or in the case of a mutallaqa mabtuta, that is one that is irrevocably divorced, if one does tasrih in khidbah, what happens to that person? Huh? Hafid. Jazakallah khair. Hafid. It's sinful. Huh? It's sinful for doing what? Tasrih. Because what Allah allows is what? Ta'rij. Allah does not allow tasrih. Why tasrih? Is it clear? So khidbah is not allowed. That is khidbah musarraha is not allowed. Mu'arrada is allowed. So if khidbah musarraha is not allowed, definitely aqdu is not allowed. Aqdu is not allowed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? What's the evidence? Aqdu is not allowed for a woman that is in iddah. You can't do aqdu with a woman that is in iddah. What is the evidence? Huh? Again? وَلَا تَعْظِمُوا عقدة النكاح حتى يبلغ الكتاب أجلا. Do not do abdu until the time elapses. I hope it is clear. That is, the iddah must be complete. So if one does abdu with a woman in waiting period, such abdu is what? Batil. If he has not slept with her, they will separate the them. And if he has slept with her, he has consummated the marriage, the watch, in addition to separation of the marriage, both of them will be what? Will be dealt with. They will deal with both of them. And according to some scholars, they cannot marry each other forever. Though the hadith on this are weak. But they will be separated, and both of them will be dealt with. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا عُقْدَةَ النِّكَاحِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلًا. Do not do Abdul Nikah until the time has completed. I hope this is clear. Now it is important that we realize this thing, because after the halqa, some of our brothers came to me, what is the difference between Bayduna Kubra and what? Sughra. What is Talaq Ba'id? What is Talaq Ba'id? What is Talaq Ba'in and what is Talaq Raji'i? Talaq Raji'i is when a man divorces his wife, and during the iddah, very important. During the iddah, that is before the woman that is divorced finishes the iddah, the man can take her back and he does not need new aqdu, new mahar. Very important. He doesn't need what? New aqdu and what? Another mahar. Because the woman is still his wife. The woman is still his wife. So any talaq that the man does not need new abdu and does not need to give her another mar, it's called what? Talaqu raj'i. And this must happen before the woman finishes her iddah. If the woman finishes her iddah, if she finishes her iddah and this man does not do raj'a, he doesn't call her back, then the woman is what? Has become ba'in. Exactly. The woman is now ba'in. They use ba'in, not necessarily ba'ina, in this situation. She becomes what? Ba'in. Exactly. So what is talaq ba'in? Who can define talaq ba'in now? Take it from the first definition. Now, who can put it in a better way? What is talaq ba'in? I'm not talking about whether kubra or sughra. What is talaq ba'in? You are speaking English now. What is talaq ba'in? Take it from the first definition. It is a talaq that requires new abdu and what? Another mahar. Is it clear now? Can you differentiate between raji and ba'in now? In the case of raji, no new abdu, no mahar. The man can continue like that. But the condition is that what? She must not finish the iddah before the man continues. She must not finish the iddah. If he allows her to finish the iddah, then she becomes what? Ba'id. Meaning what? New akdu is needed, and what? Mar, another mar is what is required. Now, what is the difference between Ba'in Bayinatan Kubra and Ba'in Bayinatan Sugra? We have learned that Ba'in is when another akdu and what mar are required. Then why do we say one is Ba'in Bayinatan Sugra and the other is Ba'in Bayinatan Kubra? Why? What is the difference? Jazakallah khairan. Now, Bayinat and Kubra has another thing. That woman must get married to another man, and the man willingly divorces her before the previous husband can now come as what, as a suitor. So they call it what? Kubra, because of this additional condition of what? Of she getting married to another man. Is it clear now? So you can differentiate between Rajri, Talak Ba'in, Bayinatan Sugra, and Bayinatan Kubra. Now, what is the Sharia ruling on a man who proposes, whether Tafri or Ta'arij, to a woman who is under a husband? Now we have said that in the case of mutallaqa mabtuta, that khidwa ta'aridiyya can come. In the case of the woman who is what? In iddatul wafa, Allah said what? Khidwa ta'aridiyya can come. But now a woman in talaqa raj'i, Talaq al-Raj'i, a woman in Talaq al-Raj'i, she's still under her husband, because the Talaq is Raj'i. What is the Sharia ruling on the man who is proposing to such a woman? No, some people do that. They want a woman to leave her husband and watch, and come and marry them. Maybe giving her money and things like that. What is the ruling on that? Very simple. It's very simple. Trying to lure her so that she can ask for khul'u or something like that. Or she can misbehave so that the husband will say, okay, I divorce you. This is not a quality of a believer. We have to understand things like this. Very, very important, because we mix them up. Because some people do not understand. If somebody gives proposal, as we said last week, to a woman who is in iddat al-wafa, somebody will say, Subhanallah, Allah, this man is very a serious Muslim. And Allah said what? وَلَا جُنَا عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَعَرَضْتُمْ بِي مِنْ خِدْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ. So that person doesn't know what he's saying. But at the same time, you see, or the other hand, you see some people, they are trying to bring a woman out of the husband's house, maybe by trying to speak ill of the husband and things like that, so that the woman can speak for. This is not a quality of a believer either. I hope this is clear. Whether the talaq is rajri or whether there is no talaq at all, that is worse. Talaq rajri, no. If there is no talaq at all, no. No more about that of iddatul fasq. No, we are still going to talk on idda. A woman that is in iddatul fasq. What is fasq? What is fasq? What is different between fasq and khul'u? Every khul'u is fasq, but not every fasq is khul'u. Fasq is to dissolve the marriage, but not talaq, not really true talaq. Why khul'u is when a woman asks for the dissolution of the marriage, the woman is asking, they call it khul'u, so they will be separated. But fuck, maybe of what, of aib, maybe there is a defect in the man or there is a defect in the woman. So maybe it is the qadi that is separating both of them. Is this clear? So fasq is broader than khul'u. Khul'u is part of what? Fasq. A woman that is in iddatul fasq, and somebody proposed to her, whether ta'ridun or tasrihat. Huh? Tasrihat? No. Any woman that is in iddah, you can't propose to her tasrihat. You can't propose to her tasrihat. But ta'ridun, if it is what? Like iddatul wafat, iddah of mutallaqa salasa, then that of a fasq, the ta'rid can come, but tasri, no. So we have to understand this very well. Now, وَلَا تُخْطَبُ الْمَرَاتُ فِي عِدَّتِهَا. A woman in iddah should not be proposed to. Exactly. وَلَا بَاسَ بِالتَّعْرِيجِ. Then the author says what? He makes a kind of what? Exception. وَلَا بَاسَ بِالتَّعْرِيجِ. There is no harm. Now the exception there is what? Is رَجْعِي. A woman in عِدَّةُ طَلَاقِ الرَّجْعِي. You can do no ta'rid, no tasrih. Is it clear? You say, what of Baynunat and Sughra? Baynunat and Sughra? What do you mean by Baynunat Sughra? A man allows the woman, till she finishes what? The iddah. Is she the wife? She's not the wife anymore, so, and she has finished iddah. So, when you say Baynunat and Sughra, unless if you mean Baynunat and Sughra with respect to khul'u. With respect to what? Khul'u. You know khul'u? For those who consider it to be what? Talaq. It's talaq, bayinuna, bayinuna sughra. But she's still going to do what? She's still going to do iddah. In that case, ta'rid can come. No tasrih. Is that clear? Because if you say it is what? It is vile, bayinatan, sughra. So it means what? And she's going to do iddah. She's no more the wife of the man. So ta'rid can come there, not tasrih. So talaqul raj'i is the one that what? That you shouldn't go near at all. We are talking about the sharia really. Don't go and try what? Mutallaqa mabtuta, for instance, who is in iddah, and the husband doesn't understand the ruling of the sharia, and you break your head. Don't try that. But we are talking about what? The rule of the sharia. If somebody does that, before you attack as a Muslim brother, before you attack, you have to know, has this person acted in accordance with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he has gone against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? So he said what? وَلَا بَاسَ بِتَعْرِيدِ الْقَوْلِ المعروف الله سبحانه وتعالى ولكن لا توعدون سرا إلا أن تقولوا قولا معروفا. Did the Sheikh proceed? ومن نكح بكرا فله أن يقيم عندها سبعا دون صائر نسائه. Whoever marries a virgin, فله أن يقيم عندها. The man has the right to stay with her sab'an for 7 days, for 7 nights. Duna sa'iri nisa'ihi. Huh? Other than what? The remaining wives. Wa fi sayyibi thalathata ayyamin. And with respect to a sayyib, a previously married woman, so the man has the right to stay 3 days, 3 nights. Now nights, scholars will use nights, not days, because the days the man will go to work. to look for what they will eat. Unless if the man works at night, then in that case, he days. He will use the day to be with the wife. But generally speaking, most men are busy in the days. So scholars will talk about the night. Though it is the woman that has the day, the wife has the day as well. The one who has the night has the day, that is a night now. As we are going now, we are approaching Friday's night. So, correct? So the Friday's night and the Friday and the day of Friday, both of them belong to the woman. Both of them belong to the woman. But the Sharia takes the day away from the woman because the man will look forward to eat. So the night is left for her. So if one has decided that he will be sharing the night, one night, there is no harm. Two nights, no harm. Three nights. So he has what? He has two wives. Meaning what? 3 nights, he will be with this one if he has decided to share three nights. Or if it is one night, a night will be with this, a night will be with the other. This is what an abdu. It's compulsory on a man to do that. A night with this, a night with that. 2 nights with this, 2 nights with the other. And if the man has what is less busy in the day, then he will give the day to the owner of the night. Because she owns the day. But the Sharia takes it away from her because the man will be busy in the day. How this is clear? So now, somebody already has a wife. He now takes a second wife, or a third wife, or a fourth one. So, and that new wife happens to be a virgin. That is a lady that has not got married before. Is she going to have 1 night as well? The Sharia says no. She's going to have 7 nights consecutively. Consecutively. Is that not injustice? It is not injustice. وَتَمَّتْ كَلْمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and complete. Sidqan, if it's an information or a piece of information you are given by the Quran or the Hadith, take it that is all the best information. وَعَدْلًا. And if it is a law, take it that is the best law for mankind. Any other law that goes against that is what? Should be thrown away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of man, says if you take a second wife or a third wife and that wife happens to be a virgin, you have the right to be with her for 7 nights. 7 nights. And if the lady is a previously married one, then you have the right to be with her for 3 nights. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he married Umm Salama radiallahu anha. He was with her for 3 nights. And Umm Salama did not want him to go after that. Umm Salama was married to Abu Salama. And when Abu Salama died, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed with her for 3 nights. When he wanted to go, the woman did not want him to go. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa biki ala ahliki awanun." That is, you are not going to be humiliated or humbled. I'm not going to cheat you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In shi'iti sabba'atu laki walinisa'i." If you wish, I will stay 7 nights. But if I do that, you lose that right. You lose that bonus that you have had. You are supposed to have what? One night. I'm supposed to be with you for a night. But I'm giving you 3 nights because you are a new wife. And you are a previously married woman. So I gave you 3 nights. But you want me to be with you for 7 nights I'll be with you. Only that, sabba'atu li nisa'i. My other wives, I'm going to be with them seven nights each. Huh? So let's assume the Messenger of Allah had three wives dead. Let's assume he had three wives dead. That means he will come back to her afterwards. After 14 days. Huh? So she accepted immediately that let me take these 3 nights now to know if you go, if it is after 3 nights, you come after a few days. So that is, if you maintain the three, this is what? It's a bonus for you. The additional 2 days is what? It's bonus. But if you want me to make it 7, you lose that two extra days. So if I make it 7, that means I decided to make it what? 7, 7, 7, 7. And she what? She let that go. So she took that three nights. Or those 3 nights. I hope it is clear. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, as Anas radiallahu anhu said, "Semina sunnah, إذا تزوج بكران على سيب." It is part of sunnah. If one marries bikr, a virgin, on a previously married woman, أقام عندها سبعا, he will be with her for 7 nights. وإذا تزوج سيبا على بكر, if he marries a sayyib, a previously married woman, on a bikr, huh? So it will be what? Huh? Aqama inda as-salasa. He will be with her for three nights. So this is the evidence for this. As we said, the days are excluded if the man is going to use it to fend for himself or to do some other things that are important. But if no, you will have to give the days to the owner of the night. You will have to give the days to the owner of, not that you say, okay, my second wife, I love her more. So I decided to be staying with her throughout the day. Huh? But the night, I'll go and share the night. No. The one who owns the night owns the day. So if you are less busy, you go to the house of the owner of, that is what. If anything is going to change, you have to sit and watch. You sit down with her. You sit down with her to negotiate that. If she allows a right, if she gives up a right. I know Islam at times encourages something like this, so that what we'll be together, so that we won't be separated. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ مُرَاتٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَالِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَى عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. If a woman feels a kind of what, that the husband is being pompous somehow, the husband is not forthcoming the way he's been doing, maybe she fears that maybe the husband may divorce her because maybe she's unable to do some things that she used to do. Such a lady, if she has what? If she has a sense, she should try to what? To give up part of the right. Huh? So that what? The man will not throw her out. This is the nasiha of the Quran. وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا وصلوا خير. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. But most women will not look at the areas that they are not fulfilling. Maybe this is some of the duties that I'm supposed to do to my husband. They will look at that angle. And that was why Sauda radiallahu anha, when she discovered that she could not perform well the way otherwise would do, and she did not want to lose the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she wanted to remain as a wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wanted to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Jannah. She called Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I'm giving my night to Aisha radiallahu anha. I'm giving my own night. The day you are supposed to sleep in my house, the night you are supposed to sleep in my house, I give that night to Aisha radiallahu anha." Because she did that compromise because she knew that she could not perform up to expectation. What I'm trying to say in essence is that the man shouldn't cheat the woman to say, okay, I've decided to be staying with sister so-and-so or Umu so-and-so in the afternoon. All afternoons I'll be in her house. The night I'll be sharing. No, that is injustice. If you are around, you are available, you didn't go to work, you have to be in the house of the owner of the night. But if you reach a compromise with her, there is no harm. If she gives that night, maybe she's also expecting something from you. She wants you to do something for her. Okay, I'm giving you this night so that I can also get so and so from you. There is no harm. So this is what the Sharia establishes. This is what the Sharia establishes. So the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ نَكْحَ بِكْرًا فَلَهُ أَنْ يُقِيمَ عِنْدَهَا سَبْعًا. Whoever marries a bikru, that is a virgin, فَلَهُ أَنْ يُقِيمَ عِنْدَهَا سَبْعًا, he can stay with her for 7 nights, دُونَ سَائِرِ نِسَائِهِ, excluding other women. وَفِي ثَيِّب, if he marries a previously married woman, he can stay with her ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّام, 3 nights. Is that clear? Now when we talk about this night of a sin, or the day, the sharing of the day, we have talked about this before, that this is compulsory to share it this day. But with respect to love of the heart, this is something that is beyond, or that may be beyond the ability of the man. With respect to sex, it may be beyond the ability of the man, that is to do justice in the aspect of sex, in the aspect of love of the heart. So this may be difficult. But as some scholars have said, if somebody can do it, some scholars have been right, it's compulsory, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, that if a man can do justice in what? In sex, he can do justice in love, then it is compulsion. But if he cannot, Allah is not going to hold him for that. But he should not neglect the other woman. With respect to accommodation, justice must be done. With respect to what? Clothing, feeding, justice must be done in this aspect. As we said the other time, many scholars have the opinion that the need, the basic needs, the what is needed, is the justice that they are talking about here. If we are talking about the luxuries, it's not part of justice that you give them luxuries the same way. This is according to most scholars. But some scholars, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, is of the opinion that even in that you have to do justice. So now, if somebody travels, he travels, and he wants to go with one of his wife, how does he pick? You know, the wives, they already have what their days are nice. How is he going to pick? He will cast lots. This is what Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَرَادَ سَفَرًا أَقْرَأَ بَيْنَ نِسَائِهِ فَأَيَّتُهُنَّ خَرَجَ سَهْمُهَا خَرَجَ بِهَا. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to travel, he will cast lot among his wives. The lot of the one who comes out, he will travel with her. And that one, he won't pay, but that one is what is out of it. So if he comes back, if he returns, he will continue the sharing. That one is not part of it. Not that the other women will say, ah, but she traveled with you now, so why are you not sharing? No, no. That one is out of it. If it comes back, it continues what? The sharing of the night. Is that clear? What if the man requests from the other women that I would like this woman to travel with me? Huh? Is that permissible? Is it permissible? It's not permissible, or is it permissible? These are things that we fall into. Huh? We will remember this alcohol when such happens. Then you pick your phone. And these are things that you have watched, you have learned, but because you didn't do Muraja. And that's why Muraja is very, very important. Even a malam that is teaching people, must also do Muraja. Because you forget things. So, is it permissible to request from others that I would like this woman to travel with me amongst you? Is it permissible? What is the evidence? Is it not their right? So if I beg somebody that please give me your right now, overlook your right for me, and she accepts, is it wrong? So if they say no, you have to do Quran. You have to do Quran. Quran is what? The basis. You cast lots. That is the basis. But if the man is interested in, what? This lady, she knows how to cook very well. This is a person that I want her to be with me in this journey, because she knows how to do so and so, and I will need that thing over there. Is it permissible to request from others that please allow this? It's permissible. But they have the right to say, okay, we grant you, and they have all the right to say, no, we have to do Quran. But if they insist, they should also know that what? The day of the man is also coming. That maybe they want to also request something from him, and the man will say no. The lady say, okay, I want to travel to go and do some things, maybe to visit my uncle or my, and I want you to be my to as my mahram. He said, I don't have chance. And you know, she can't travel without what? Mahram. But if the man remembers that, oh, this lady also did a kind of compromise, you want to also do that. And this is sulhu. To try to reach what? Reconciliation and compromises. A woman should not be too rigid. This is my right. Because a day will come that what? You need something from that man that is not your right. And a man should not be too rigid. This is my right. A day will come that you need something from her that is not your right. So you do compromise in order to get what you want at times. You leave part of your right to get it. Now, the woman wants to travel to visit the parents, as I've said. And, you know, she has to go with mahram. Now the issue is that if she goes, is the man going to pay her back? That is the night. You know, she won't be around. Other wives, they will be having their own share of the night. So the woman that is away now, she has traveled. When she comes back, can she say, but you know, I was away for about 5 days or a week or 2 weeks, so let us calculate those, I want you to pay me back. Or that is gone. That is gone. Because the man compromises, yes. Ordinarily, she's not supposed to leave that house. The man's supposed to be with her for those, or maybe part of those days that she has traveled. But the man compromises. So now, after compromise again, you are asking for your right again. So no, is that clear? Now be responsible for the feeding of the woman when she's away. when she's away. Is the man going to be responsible for the feeding or not? Huh? He will be responsible for the feeding according to the stronger opinion of the scholars. Now, if the man is the one that sends the woman to go to travel, he is the one, the woman is traveling for the benefit of the man. If she comes back, is she going to be paid back those bills? Huh? Yes. Yes, because she travels because of what? For the sake of the man, not for her own sake. Is it clear? So these are things that are very important, and they have connection with the issue of the sharing of the night. When we as brothers particularly and sisters, when we have understanding of the Islamic ruling on marriages, divorces and things like this, we enjoy ourselves or we enjoy one another better. But the problem is that we are ignorant, so to say, of most of these rulings. And we're violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Not considering whatever wrath of Allah may fall on. But when you read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the usual of talaq and things like that, zihar, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strict on those things. But we take them with levity. We realize those things as if we can do and undo the way the kuffar would do, that they feel they can all come together the way they like and all they can separate the way they like. No. A Muslim, you can't marry, you can't come together. You have to follow the proper way when you want to be spouses. And when you are separating, you separate in the right way. And this is the reason why we are treating this. Some people will feel, oh, why are you treating talaq? You want to break homes? Now you don't treat talaq, homes are being broken. And that's true of us. Whether you treat talaq or not, people are separating. Are they not separating? They are separating. At the same time, they are separating in order to also what? Incur the wrath of Allah. They are separating and they are incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that separation. Is it not better for you to separate if separation is the best thing and not to incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So learning this is important and compulsory. Otherwise, we will be doing things that are against the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with these as of Hajj. May subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our fears and overlook our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik ajarabna ila illa anta.
Alhamdulillah. Thumma salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa alihi. Now, the fourth question I will have here says, how many days, at this minimum, can the days be shared? 2 days, 3 days, or so?
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah abad. There is no any specific text that says it is 2 days, or 3 days, or 4 days. But business is 119. That is the basis. But it can be more than that. And that was the Messenger of Allah said in Shi'ti Sabba'atu Lak, wa in Sabba'atu Lak, Sabba'atu Linisa'i. If you want, I will stay with you for 7 nights. And if I stay with you for 7 nights, that means I'm going to stay with the rest of my wives for seven nights. Allah Allah.
Another question here says, what is the Islamic ruling on brothers and sisters going for pre-marriage tests, that is medical tests?
Now, the doing of genotype or things that are related, this is something that is important. Some scholars said it is compulsory, but what is correct is that something that is important, not compulsory. Because if somebody is AS and the wife is also AS, so they stand the chance of having what? SS. And if that comes, it can be problematic at times, that both of them may not be able to bear it. So that's why it is advisable that they know it. But it's not compulsory. And that's why you see some people, they disregard it. And they say, if anything comes out of it, they are ready to bear and assist. So if that is the case, we say it is permissible for them. But originally you say it is what recommended, because Islam also wants us to choose a good wife, a good husband. So, and things that are related, you know, when you talk about nikah, you talk about the ayub as well, that is the defects that may be present in the man or in the woman. So Islam did not say you should overlook it. We have mentioned some of these defects, that first rule of nikah can come as a result of that. Now somebody may say, okay, why is the woman not bearing that? Or why is the man not bearing it? Or what is going to be the fate of the woman that maybe has a problem, and that the man has to opt out of the marriage because of that? Scholars will say that is a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she's going to be rewarded for that trial if she's patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She does not say nonsense, or the man doesn't say nonsense. At times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries one with different things. Some people will be tried maybe with children, not having children. Some people staying for years, not having children. All these are trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if one is able to stand by those things and remain firm, Allah is going to reward one for that. But that doesn't mean that the other party that is into a transaction with one does not have the right to opt out of the contract. I hope it is clear. So we won't say that that person must bear with him or must bear with her. No. The other party has the right to opt out of the contract. But the one who has been affected shouldn't see that as something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has humiliated him or her with. He should see that as a kind of prayer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he's firm, he's going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it. Wallahu a'lam.
If a woman is junub before observing ghusl of menstruation, before menstruation comes, what should she do about the ghusl janaba?
Now, if she has two intentions, the janaba and the ghusl of hajj, when she's taking the ghusl of hajj, she brings in the intention of the ghusl of janaba as well. So both of them are tahara min hadath al-akbar. Both of them are hadath akbar. So this can be lifted. Wallahu a'lam.
I think what the person is saying is that she has ghusl, she is supposed to say the ghusl of janaba. Then the expression now comes. You think that she should take the ghusl of janaba, then afterwards she now takes the menstruation, or she just leaves that of janaba and wait till the end of, because maybe she's thinking there's nothing that she could do as a result of the fact that she's menstruating already. So
if she takes the ghusl of janaba while she's menstruating, no harm. The janaba is lifted. But there's another hadath or akbar with her, and that is the hajj. So which means what? She's going to take another ghusl after she becomes pure of the hajj. Well, if she delays both till the end of the ghusl, the hajj, and takes both the ghusl with two intentions, that of janaba and that of hajj, no harm.
Now, let me just ask that question. Now, someone who is by taking the ghusl of janaba, does it not leave some of the things that she supposed that is haram for her, for example? Does it not leave it? Because delaying it till the end of her menstruation now is it not going to be, I mean, cause some kind of, you know, hindrances for her to do some things that she's supposed to do ordinarily, like maybe reciting the Quran from memory and stuff like that? I don't know.
What Janaba is going to prevent, how is going to prevent her?
That's what. What is the ruling on husband, on a husband who keeps late night with the excuse of being with friends after Isha for hours? And secondly, can a husband give his wife permission to travel to her parents without him following her as a master?
Now, if the lady that is the owner of the night feels that maybe she's been robbed by by the man for not coming early, she can complain. She can complain. You are supposed to do it. You have stayed long. So she can complain because that is her right. Unless if there is a, maybe a genuine excuse, particularly maybe the before the man comes back from work, maybe it is the time has already gone. It has to do with the job of the man. That one supersedes her own right because they have to eat. Since the man is unable to feed her, she will complain as well. So, but when we say night, it means most part of the night, not all the night, not from 7 to 7, from 7 to 6 or 7 to 5. No, it's most part of the night. That is what is meant for Allah. Now the
traveling.
Now a man allowing his wife to travel without a mahram, without him following her on that journey, is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible on condition that there is another mahram with her. Maybe a younger brother, elder brother, a father, son, uncle. So those that cannot marry her forever are the mahram. So if they are with her, then she can go if the man allows. Allahu
a'lam. Finally, inshallah, what advice do you have about the book, the compilation Al-Mahdurat, the Azkar book?
Well, the book Al-Mahdurat is a book that is compiled. The author took some verses of the Quran and some ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So some of those ahadith are not authentic. Then those chapters or verses that they are chosen from the Quran, so recommending them that they should be read at a particular time requires evidence. It's not very different, so to say, from what some of our verses do. They'll tell you, recite Kulu Allah for the dead ones. You recite Izaja if you are looking for a womb, you recite Zawaka, you recite Ina Fatana Yasin. All these are chapters of the Quran. But what is the evidence that tells us that if you recite so and so, then these are the Azkar? Now combining those chapters or verses to say, okay, these are Azkar of Sabah, Azkar of the. Where did the Messenger of Allah recommend in Azul Zilatil Abdul Zana? You know, you have it in the book. Do you know any authentic hadith that recommends that you recite in the Azul Zilatil Abdul Zalaha in the morning or in the evening? No. So he has compiled verses of the Quran or chapters of the Quran. Yes, chapters of the Quran, but that recommendation is Bidya Idafiyya. Bidya Idafiyya. So some ahadith there are what are not authentic. And that was when somebody asked Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala to do the tahqiq of the book. He said, want me to destroy the book completely? Because the tahqiq will be what? It's as if you're not allowed to, there is no any hadith that says you recite it at a particular time. So that will be what? Okay, this one is there, this one. So the book, it contains Martin chapters, ahadith, but some of them are recommended at the wrong time, not the right time. So if you want to read the Quran, read the Quran. So Allah.
Okay, one more last question. I just want to say,
And some of the people say, but you have been reciting it and our prayer has been answered. If that is your evidence, then the mushrikun, the Oshun goers, they will tell you that we have been going to Oshun and we are having watched babies all this while. So you can't tell me that this thing won't work for me. The issue is not whether you get what you are looking for. The issue is in that sunnah, that is the issue. Even if you follow the sunnah, you are yet to get what you are asking for. Still be steadfast on it. That would be what a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wa ta'ala.
Now someone is asking, if two carriers, that is maybe AFAS or ASSS, intentionally marry and give birth to people, the children suffer, even if the parents stay by them, are they to blame in Islam for the problems they could have avoided in the first place?
Well, we cannot completely rely on this AS of a thing. Huh? We cannot completely rely on them. Just as they say AAAA, so they are not likely to have problems. You have seen people who are AA and they have what? Problems. Huh? Have you heard of that before? I watched on the TV, a man who said he was 56 dead. Huh? I think it was last year. He was SS, and the doctor that was looking after him said he would die young. He said the doctor who said he would die young, the doctor died before him. So they were showing these programs so that people will not despair because you are SS, that means you won't live. There are people who are SS now who are above 40 now. Huh? And what they will say is that they are not likely to go above 40. So we cannot rely completely on it. At the same time, we can't rubbish it. Now, if somebody decides to marry maybe somebody with a cripple, so to say, huh? Is that not likely to affect the children? Huh? Once, I'm not saying that maybe the person is going to have a cripple. What I'm saying is that the woman may not be able to take care of the children very well. She will need the assistance of other people in doing some of these things. So, but a man decides that, okay, the person I want to marry as a wife is this woman. Like somebody once told me that he heard about a woman, a lady that was half his own. He heard about her. He had not seen her before. He had only heard the voice and he was interested in her. And they were taking him to that place to meet the lady, and he told the person that was taking him, they said, if this lady happens to be a cripple, I've decided to marry her. I'm not changing my mind. But if you do that, you're likely to face some difficulties, maybe in doing some things. So are we saying that those who are not able-bodied, that they should not, they shouldn't get married? No. So if somebody feels that, you know, they can bear, we will say certainly all their children are going to be SS. But as I said earlier, it's not advisable. It's not advisable. But for us to say it is haram, that would be... it will be too harsh to say that, but it is not advisable. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.